like Mo. You know, the guy from the Three Stooges. Life can be so cruel. At school I was a sitting duck. Behind my back I heard nyack, nyack. And if that wasn't bad enough, sometimes they'd bop my nose. To look at me, you might believe. More likely, my father looked like Curly, but no, he looked like Mo.
So when I was living in Australia, I hung out with a band because I wanted to be cool. So I hung out with a band.
Do you know them?
No.
Wasn't in excess or anything
no.
like that?
No. And I played harmonica with them, a blues harp once in a while, not harmonica. And they said, we got to go see this guy. You got to go see this guy. He's all of a sudden, I'm sounding a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They almost sound like they're from New York.
No, they were Aussies. You got to go see this guy, mate.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. So we went to a little club in Sydney called The Basement.
Oh, you've been there a bunch over the years, it sounds like.
Your voice went really high there.
Well, you talk like a New Yorker. I'm going to go high.
And David Wilcox came out, and I was blown away. And here's why I was blown away. He wasn't just a singer-songwriter. He wasn't just a killer vocalist with this deep resonance. You know, first thing that blew me away was he played a song with three capos on the neck.
What?
He cut out pieces of foam and let a string go, and did all this weird tuning stuff.
Right.
So I was trapped with that.
Nice.
And the way he set up songs, he painted them like a Dick Van Dyke painting. He started sweetly in the background.
Do you mean Vincent Van Gogh?
No. You remember in Mary Poppins where he chalk drew painting and then you jump into it? He'd
and
set
I know
up.
My name is Simon.
No, not like that. He would set up a song like one of these paintings and then you jumped into it and you were there. You were totally immersed. I've never experienced that since. David Wilcox is the guy that blew me away, and David Wilcox, then I became a fan of. All of a sudden, I'm talking like Yoda. Then I became a fan of?
Fan of him I did become.
Anyway, when I started the first hour of the show, live on Drew Marshall's show, devoted solely to the art of music, music, I realized, has penetrated my soul more than religion ever has. And the most religious experience I've ever had with a song has been with David Wilcox and his music.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to have him on the show one last time. He's been on before. He's back again. He's back like a bad rash. Here he is, Mr. David Wilcox. Hello, Mr. Wilcox. David, how was that intro for you? Are you okay with that? Did we do justice
that
by
was
you?
That was great. Back like a bad rash. That was lovely.
Well, there are other things you could be returning like a... Anyway, thank you for joining us. You know, we're setting up today's show as a bit of a special one. And so we've said a folk singer, an ex-jihadist, an imam, a rabbi, and an ex-pastor walk into a radio show. Which one are you?
I guess I'll be the folk singer.
Okay. All right. That'll work. Are you okay with that label, folk singer? Like, it makes me think of a Mighty Wind.
It's... Yes, it does. there's not good names for categories of music, but there's powerful industrial reasons for that. So I think it's just a way to start a conversation, but it's not very accurate.
Okay. Well, then we should give you... I did call you singer-songwriter. So listen, the first thing that needs to be said to all of our Canadian listeners is what?
Yeah, there's that amazing slide player, then I'm not him.
Yeah, you're not bald, and you don't talk about laying pipe.
He's so good.
He is. I saw him perform live a few years ago in my hometown, and to tell you, all the rednecks came out in flourishing colors to watch David Wilcox, the Canadian rock and roller. Does that prevent you from coming to Canada as much as you would like, maybe?
I would like to come to Canada more. I mean, everybody would. It's civilized. It's tough to get gigs, yes, because there is that confusion.
Yeah.
I just come to Canada on vacation.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming to Canada on vacation. When was the last time you were here, by the way?
You know, it's all a blur. I have no idea. It seems like a few years ago, but I can't remember.
Well, your music is hard to, it's hard to nail down to people. It's hard to describe because you're a bit of a lyrical mutineer.
I like that. I think that that should be the top of my resume. Lyrical mutineer David Wilcox.
You won't be confused with the other one, that's for sure.
It'd be great.
Are you this intense all the time? Because, like, I don't know if, like, are you a fun guy?
Yeah, I think the stuff that shows up in my music is sort of how I navigate song by song to make my life more soulful and present. And the reason why I do that is not because I'm like that. The reason why I do that is because I'm not like that. Right. So I need the music to get there.
Now, spiritually, you know, like all of us, or like most people, whether they admit it or not, dude, you have been on a really fascinating journey, I'm sure. And some of that leaks out into the public. You know, there's some, maybe some Jesus people that want to sink their hooks into you and claim them as your own. And then there's some underground Jesus people that really want to sink their hooks in, into you. And then there's just the folk world that says, no, no, he's ours. And then there's the, like, but spiritually, you can't help but leak when you write.
Well, I do love that I get to be welcomed by lots of different groups. That's very satisfying to me. And I love to write in a kind of a language that doesn't make one group of people feel sort of excluded and another, you know, feel like they're, yeah, I like the welcoming. I like songs that will sort of send people on a journey if they feel like their souls are not sort of at home yet. And but I don't need to be the one who's like claiming that I know where they're going to wind up. I like to be the one who inspires them to question their assumptions and, you know, have a little walkabout.
Yeah, I like that. Not to get all Australian on this or anything. Did you grow up with any sort of spiritual baggage or denominational twitches or?
I grew up in the best way possible. My parents both came from traditions, different traditions, and they decided it all stops here. So they raised us with no tradition at all, which was fantastic.
So good.
Because early on, I had a sense of a sort of a mysticism, but I had no language for it, which made it feel like I was discovering something that nobody was talking about. And so that made it feel revolutionary and very powerful.
So I went to, back when I lived in Australia, I went up to the Katoomba in the Blue Mountains. I used to live in the Blue Mountains, and Bruce Colburn was playing there. So I went to watch him play as a fellow Canadian. And Bruce has been on the show numerous times. He recently sent his apologies for not being able to make the last month of the show. He's just slammed this month. But I reminded him of the time where he was eating breakfast, and I accosted him, and I actually verbalized to him. I said, Bruce, are you or are you not a Christian? What a stupid, stupid question.
I also embarrassed myself in front of Bruce Coburn.
Not like that, I hope.
Probably worse.
What happened? What did you do? Get all fanboy on him?
Well, I did, and it was at a festival, and I was trying to stir up a conversation. So I said, you know, hey, in that lyric when you said I ride and I shoot and I play guitar, are you talking motorcycles and cameras or horses and guns? And he sort of spat out horses and guns.
Horses.
Like, how could you even ask?
Oh, jeez. Well, okay, so now that I've made myself look like a complete tool by that story, me asking Bruce Coburn the just painful question. Actually, his response was brilliant. He said, you know, you tell me what you mean by Christian, I'll tell you if I am one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So what are you? What do you think? What do you believe? What do you think is out there?
Okay, so depending on which level we're talking, like, for example, if somebody wants to talk about their mystical experiences and they have a language that works for them, I will lean into that language because I realize that there aren't human words that own that experience. So I'm willing to use whatever language works, sort of like my song Native Tongue. But so I'm not saying that the experience resides in the language and that the language is the source of the experience, you know. I'm just saying that however we can find words to talk about it, you know, that's a stretch in any language. So why argue about the language, the metaphors, the so when somebody asks me if I have experienced, you know, life being deep and high and interesting and complex and mysterious and powerful, I say yes. And if we can talk about that in ways that that make our lives juicy and connected, then that's religion, because religion is, you know, isn't the root of the word like the same as ligament, like to reconnect? And so if it's dividing us, it's not religion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As we're talking, David, I want to know the hold on. I'm changing gears. Just warning you, we're going to just jump back into lunacy for a second, and then we'll come back into some semblance of depth. But no problem. What is – your laugh is so weird, man.
I know. Yeah, I never really hear it. Whenever it's happening, I'm busy laughing, but it is really,
no,
really
but ridiculous. I mean, it does have this infectious thing, and child, you're like an infected child. No, you are. it is a beautiful thing. Yeah. It is unrehearsed and unleashed.
It's true. Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
That's it.
I can't do it on command, but
no. I want to dive into this song. You have numerous songs. When I'm hanging out socially with people and they ask me what I believe, I struggle answering that question. And oftentimes, I'll just simply play one of your songs.
I'm honored. That's fun. That's nice. I like songs that are the start of good conversations.
Right, right. So we've got you on Skype audio right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there might be a glitch throughout this every once in a while. That's the way this stuff works. But, dude, I'm telling you. So today we're going to get you, hopefully, you're okay with this. I think we talked about this, to play the song Three Brothers. Are you still down with that?
Sure. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Shall I do that now?
Yeah, I want to set it up here. So today's show really has a theme from this point forward. American singer-songwriter David Wilcox has written many soul-penetrating songs. One of them is the opening for our 9-week series, Rebuilding Love, Start with the Ending. And, you know, who knows, maybe we'll have time for that as well, but I don't want to hijack the conversation with that right now. Right now, one of his songs is the premise for today's theme. Three Brothers is the story, and you tell me if I've got this succinctly summarized. Three Brothers is the story of three brothers, who each feel that they are the brother that deserves to inherit all of their father's estate. And as the will is being read, they discover that each of their wishes come true. Each brother did inherit all of their father's estate. Now, although that math doesn't make sense, the song is basically an illustration of the world's three largest monotheistic religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, that happen to all come from the same piece of land that has been fought over for centuries, Jerusalem. But David, as far as I understand it, the most powerful narrative in this song is the impact all of this fighting between the brothers has had on their sister, Faith. Did I get that right?
That's very nice. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I guess you don't need to sing the song now. Thank you very much. David Wilcox.
Yeah.
David,
I will.
Would you mind just doing this song for us, please? What a treat. Love. Thank you.
All three brothers love their father, and he's called them here today to see these papers and these lawyers and divide the old estate. All three feel that they're the favorite. He loves each of them the best. And these documents he gave them will now put them to the test. So they open all the writings that will prove the rightful heir to this home that they remember, and the right to settle there. Their own sister is a prisoner. They don't see her face to face. They've not heard her song of beauty or felt the movement of her grace. She lives behind those bars of steel and waits for her release. Will she die or will we see Jerusalem in peace? Each one looks at what he is given, and he studies what he's shown. They hold their maps that show possession of this place they've called their home. At first they sigh with satisfaction when they see what's on their maps. Each one's given all he wanted, but the boundaries overlap. So do you wish us to be brothers? Father, help us understand. Or do we each kill off the others to claim this same piece of land? Do you mean there to be hatred in this place you built to last? Will our sister Faith just die a prisoner in the dungeon of the past? She lives behind those bars of steel and waits for her release. Will she die or will we see Jerusalem in peace? Will she die or will we see Jerusalem in peace? Jerusalem is sending her voice from inside the prison of disbelief. Stand up, you people of the one God, to bring about her release.
Yes, yeah. David Wilcox, are you kidding me? Jumping. You know, the crazy thing about this is how you describe to people the impact of David Wilcox's music. He just performed that live over Skype, and there was still that digital sort of, you know, every once in a while it catches up and whatever, and it still rocks you. It still penetrates the soul. Dude, what is wrong with you? Other than your laugh. Oh, man. Okay, so listen. On my left here in the studio, I have a guy named Mubeen Sheikh. And Mubeen and I have become pals over the years. He's been on the show numerous times. We do a little thing called the Terrorism Update. Mm-hmm. And he He's now a specialist in the world of terrorism because he's an ex-jihadist. He wrote a book called Undercover Jihadi, CSIS, which is Canada's version of what? The Secret Service? Is that pretty much it, or what?
CIA, probably.
CIA?
Well, FBI. CIA.
Okay, whatever the letters are. Yeah. They got a hold of him and said, you know, we need you to be our insider dude. And so he infiltrated one of the terror cells here in Toronto and really saved a lot of lives here in Toronto.
Wow.
Now, he is a... Dude, let me tell... I want to see if I get this right. Are you a Sunni Sufi?
Sunni Sufi.
Did I say that right?
You did.
I'm so impressed with myself right now.
No cards or anything.
So, Mubin, this is David. David Mubin.
David.
Hi. What did you think of that
song? Salaam alaikum.
Listen to him, nice. David Wilcox, throwing down.
Nice.
What did you think of that song? Because, like, as a Jesus guy, I'm listening to it going, oh, man, that's just where my heart is. And then I have this little hesitancy of the old evangelical, Christian scene that I used to be a part of that goes, oh, wait, hold on. We have to have some boundaries here.
Right.
What did you think of that song?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously from your intro that you kind of described it as, and, I mean, it fit perfectly. I think it's congruent with what I believe anyway, that the three of us, I actually made this comment earlier that the three are joined at the Abrahamic hip.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? And not that Abraham's a really old guy now, which he is. But
yeah. But he's hip.
But we are joined at the hip. I mean, and I was kind of thinking when the song was playing, what the ideas that came in my mind was that we have only two paths to take. One is the way of cooperation, and the other is the way of confrontation. And we know where the way of confrontation takes us. Do we know where cooperation takes us? Because we're just not investing enough in it. So the song is perfect. Yeah.
Wow, the song is perfect from Mubin Sheikh. I mean, that's a good quote. Your song is going to blow up now, man.
Oh. Whoa.
See what I did? Little terrorist joke?
I saw that.
Little terrorist joke?
There we go.
Is there any such thing as a terrorist joke?
Oh, yeah. Sure there is. I kill you!
Silence!
Kill you! David, we kind of got a little sidetracked with the belief stuff. And I think you did that on purpose, so I'm going to hold you to it. Dude, what do you think? What do you believe? See, when it comes to the word believe, I've now translated that immediately in my head to hope. I hope that there is a good creator maybe created with the main ingredient being love. I hope that there is a good creator that is the inventor of love. And anything more than that, I'm unsure of. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a fascinating question, and I don't think the question makes my life any better. I think the question that makes my life better is what brings my life connection and juice and love and adventure and feeling like I belong in my skin and feeling like my life matters. The thing that brings me more to life is this mystical sense of accountability, a sense of guidance, and a sense of like a playful welcoming to the interconnected, mysterious whatever. Okay, now that feels like it's like, how do you pray to that? It feels like, where do you connect? How does that shape your life? Okay, so that's one aspect of how I understand my spiritual journey. The other aspect, which I hold in great compassion, is that there are powerful traditions that hold people's lives when their lives are broken.
Hmm.
Like a cast will hold a broken arm. And it's a beautiful thing that if a life needs to heal, like if you get all broken in addiction or whatever it is, you can come to a very strict faith and it will hold you. It will tell you do this and don't do that. And that cast over a broken arm is so necessary just for shelter from the world for a second, just for some stability. And the weird thing is, a lot of times, the cast becomes sort of an identity, and people will keep it on, and then what happens is the bone atrophies. And so For me, the powerful thing about a strict faith is that it is very useful, like a cast is useful, and hopefully it is a way of healing a life that then can grow beyond those constrictions into compassion, into love, into understanding other people instead of being defensive and sheltered from the world.
Are you kidding me?
That's good stuff, man. That's good.
Dude. You know what? You better not start handing out Kool-Aid because I'll drink it, man. A couple things just before we say goodbye. First of all, thank you, David. You're a busy and talented man, and for you to agree to spend time with us during our last month after 16 years of the show to return, you're one of my all-time greatest spiritual influences. So thank you. It's an honor. Like, I know people say that, and it's a suck-up thing and whatever, but it is. It's a real honor to have you back on the show, so thank you. Number two, that song we just played, Three Brothers, has, like many of your music, ripped my soul apart. And I've said this about a few other people, but a very few other people. You are like an irritating pebble underneath my soul. Number three, the song that you wrote, Secret of a Happy Marriage, maybe you should write this down and want to keep a love together, best way is to end it now. That has been a theme song for a nine-week series that we have been doing where my wife and I are meeting with a relationship guru named Dr. Sue Johnson. It's our opening song because we were together for 28 years and then separated, and we've just recently, after a long separation, renewed our vows, are back together, and it is like nothing, nice. Like nothing it's ever been. But, dude, the lyrics in that song is like you've been creeping on our lives. You got cameras.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think I have much more to say other than, holy crap, I like you.
Well, thank you. And, I think we should, like, hang out and you should come over to dinner. I'll cook something for you. Too bad you live so far away, but I need to come visit Canada anyway. Shall I just come up and knock on your door? I mean, since you're not doing the radio show anymore, what are you doing?
I know. All of a sudden, it's like a scene from Green Acres. I'm out in the farm riding the tractor and, you know, looking for, what was the name of Arnold the pig, wasn't it? Arnold?
I have no idea. Just Ed the horse. That's all I know.
Anyway, so David, your song has launched us. You have launched us into this discussion that we're now going to continue with Mubin Sheikh. My pal here who's beside me, he's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. He's the author of Undercover Jihadi. And then Rabbi Steve Leder, one of the 10 most influential rabbis in America. And then Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, the West's most influential Islamic scholar. This because of your stinking song. Thank you, David.
So how do I listen to this show online? What's the...
Yeah, well, ooh, funny you should mention that.
Yeah, segue.
If you go to drewmarshall.ca, you can listen to us live streaming. Or you could, if you're interested, because there's actually another human in the studio. By the way, show everyone your guns there. Moving, you know, you got some pipage going on there.
You got suspended from school for bringing guns.
Thanks, Arnold. You can go to our Facebook page. There's a live stream happening there, and you can see how sexy the ex-jihadist is. So that's it. That is it. David, I hope I see your face one more time before I die.
Well, let's make that happen. We can go on vacation together and talk theology and bore everyone else in the room. That'd be great.
Exactly. Exactly. David Wilcox, American singer-songwriter, A River Runs Through Him.
Ooh, nicely done.
Our Mighty Wind. No, I better not. I better not say that. David, thank you for your time, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure. See ya.
Bye-bye. David Wilcox. This is the song that we have been playing at the start of our relationship thing at the end of every show for the last number of weeks. Have a listen to this song. This is David Wilcox. When we come back, Mubin Sheikh's going to tell us how close he came to blowing stuff up. Then the truth is safe to say.